Okay. I think we're holding Uperek Kamar Avodah Zarah.
Yep,
Okay.
that's it.
Uperek Kamar Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabbi Yechon Shmuel ben Noah. Ma'irich siv ashrechem zori al kol mayim. Ashrechem yisrael bizman shem oiskim b'toyr gmilz chasodim yitzron mosu b'yodam. V'loy hein misurim b'yad yitzron. Shenem ashrechem zori al kol mayim ben zri al atztoka, shtem zri al kom atztoka. Ve'ein mayim al atoyr, shenem ahoy kol tzom l'chul mayim. Mishal chereg al shor v'chamor, tanu v'el yol, l'olam yosmanim atzma d'vitoyr kishor l'orl v'chamor l'masi. So it says here, two inyonim that help a person in terms of his struggle with Yetzirah. One is Tzedakah, one is Torah. So he says, Bo lo yodia l'odam ma'ilas ha-Torah, ki ha-odam nivra mi-Yetzirah, v'kasha oisik b'Torah Yetzirah nimsa b'yodai. U'lefikach im ha-odam reitzesh l'Yetzirah sholet boi, oz ya-odam dovik b'toiv, ve'ozu nitzim l'ra'agomo Yetzirah, Udvekas Adam betoyv tzerch she besichle v'chem enafshei, but zeitzahara ein shalut by. So he says two inyanim. When you have a the Rambam, the Maral's description of a person we've seen many times before is the guf, the nefesh, and the seichel. The guf includes the taivus, the physical drives and desires. The nefesh includes the what we would call, I guess, I don't know if emotional is a good word for it, but it's the drives, the non-physical drives, such as ambition and greed and jealousy and arrogance and all of those. That's the koach nefesh. And there's a koach hasichli. So he says, if we want to overcome the Yetzihara, so he says, we need the nafshi to go into place. That's done through chesed, and we need the sichli. So let's so we'll see soon how he explains it. The part about the nefesh being osek and gemilas chesed and that tov driving out Yetzihara is something that really needs a hesba. What he explains basically is that somebody whose nefesh is tov is going to have a different set of drive desires, and it's something we do need to spend time on because it's not obvious at all. We find many people are generous, but they're big balataiva, and it doesn't seem to be a direct steerer to it, and being generous is a steerer to being stingy or not generous or cruel maybe, but it's not a steerer to somebody who has physical typhus, and but we need to talk about that. But I want to speak more, I guess, being that we're sort of close to Shavuos, to the first part where he says something about Torah. He defines how Torah works, and he says, that's a very, very important point. The nimser biyado. There's a similar chazal, which so whereas chesed he points out is something which makes a person's nefesh into Taiv, and that sort of crowds out any type of Ra. That we understand, at least we understand how it's working. In other words, we may not understand why one is Shaykh as the other, and that we had our issue, but to understand in terms of because you're becoming Tov instead of Ra, that's why it's working. The one we have a little bit of a harder one is to understand the Torah part of it when he says nimsa biyadei. The truth is this lashon is something which you find in the Gemara. The Gemara in Kedushin says a famous chazal, it says v'samtam samtam, Torah is like a samchayim, Moshe Lodom Shikas Bnei Makadola Bnechla Vitiel Makosai. And he told him, Bnei, Kolzmacher, Tia Zomakoska, Cholmasha Noscha, Ushte Masha Noscha, Choitz, Be Mechame Betsoinon, Benata Messiore. Bimata Mavira, Hare Malanumi. So, Chazal give a marshal that somebody hit his son and the son had a big wound. His father gave him some sort of bandage and he said, as long as the bandage on it, you can do whatever you want, it's not a problem. You know, so you can even do activities that are not good for a wound. But if you take it off, it is going to start making all sorts of growths, I guess sort of pussing and stuff like that, infections. So let's understand the marshal here that Chazal gave. Chazal are very, very clear about the marshal and the nimshal. It's not that Torah in any way cures the problem. The makkah means that we have something, some defect.
Sorry, just a question. Oisek b'Torah means shorsh enagas apara, or
yes, it means shorsh enagas apara. It means I definitely would have to say it means shorsh enagas apara, but at least I have to understand the mechanism of how that happens. But I would say it's yes, and I'll try to explain why. Let's go to Marshall first. So it says that it's like his son has a maka, and this maka, the problem with the maka is that it's mala numi. It has all sorts of stuff that grows onto it, infections, fungus, whatever. That's the type of thing. Now, the nimshal is that when a person's skin is whole, when a person's skin is not damaged, then it's not easy for him to suffer infections. Infections on top of the skin rarely affect a person unless they find their way into him. And that's why any open area, that's the, you know, when you operate on somebody, the first risk is the fact that you open up the person and you've made a breach in the person's defenses and so on. So the first nekuda is the level of the fact that the person now has something that can infiltrate. The chet, or the ability to be chayte, depending on who that muscle is relating to, is something which allows for ra from the outside to creep into a person. That is the ra we're talking about. One. We need to have something. It will not be cured until Mashiach comes. But we need to have something which can exert control over it. So just like if you have a breach in the fence, and you have, the first thing you do is you put up a roadblock, like a guardhouse, and two guys challenge anybody comes through. Torah itself is allowing for, Torah itself is allowing you control over it. And let's understand Torah more mitzad its pnimius of the mitzvah. Without Torah, without Matan Torah, every tzivui stands on its own, and it's mechayev a person, the Torah's, this is what you should do here, this is what you should do here, this is what you should do here. These are things that it's not the das of the Adam in control of the Adam and making the decisions that we follow through on, but rather different parts of ourselves are directly linked to some sort of mitzvah. And the ability for shaping a person so that the seichel is the one that controls the person is a very different dimension of of ruchnistic existence. Until Matan Torah, each piece was an individual tzivui, each mitzvah. The Rambam goes through which mitzvahs the mitzvah got added, the others did mitzvahs and so on, but the mitzvahs came as a point by point sort of listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There never was a shilton of seichel over the person and his maisa. When the tzura of Torah in the generic sense that we have today became with Talmud Torah on top, we now have we develop our person in a way that the seichel is telling the guf and the evarim what to do, and that's a tremendous shift from a place where the evarim themselves do it and so on. The when it says that the Torah is moishel on it, it's very clear that it's not that the taivas disappear, or that in any sense they're neutered in any way, but rather it means something is in control over it, and that takes care of it. Chazal said in Moreh Soitein Adam Choytel Unkei Nichas by Ruach Shtus. But for a person to do Averis, because we have the Kli of Seichel that acts as a rein, it requires a Ruach Shtus to override the Seichel to do it. And that's why you have all sorts of things like Schoik and Arayis, Armagel, Sultan Tarayis, Schoik, Kalos Roish. In other words, when a person does a Pu'ula, that's a Hafkah from Sichlius, that becomes a oifin of it becomes an oifin of allowing his defenses down. The same thing, that's the reason why Shichrus is so bad, because we have problems, and even the person today who's a tzaddik is not a tzaddik be'etzem, he's just somebody that is able to control everything through seichel, and therefore he denies the guf that which it shouldn't have by imposing seichel over it. If you short circuit the seichel, like the person drinks, then you have then you don't have that anymore. So the shilton of in Matan Torah that we got was we deal with the Yetzirah by imposing a control over it, and that's how we deal with it. It's something that it lies in the very, very essence of Torah and the description of Torah, that so you asked the question before, what if somebody is learning Baba Kama or Shoshen Nogach? So on a very simple level, as a person learns to work through things with a seichel, when a person acts by impulse, what we mean when he acts by impulse is he allows his reflex, which is his guf, to do it. So let's say I eat impulsively. I eat impulsively means that my stomach says, like this, looks good, and I grab it. When I impose seichel on it, so anything that I do through impulse means I don't think it through. I don't have to think. If somebody asks me, if I'm standing by a bar of ice creams, you know, and at a simcha, like, and they have a choice of many different ice creams, you know, we use the lashon, I'm thinking of what to take. It's not really thinking. I'm waiting for which reflex is the strongest, which one is pulls me the most. That's all it means. Which one is meishach me? There's no ability of me to impose myself and my das on it. Masha'in came. When a person learns, the process of learning is to think through, and what he's doing in effect is that he's weighing and debating, and the very fact that he's trying to get to a maskana, that itself is the first layer of das. The implication of Torah is also that. So one layer is simply the activity of doing a lot of it, of a lot of thinking, and so on, is a pa'ula of sichlius, and that reinforces in a person the chshivas of that sichlius. Subconsciously, a person is learning. The message is, I'm learning because, you know, I want to know what to do. I need to know. It's the deciding what's right to do that I will do, and so on. So there's a sort of a subconscious message that's also significant, and the activity usually also on a very simple level, the activity of sitting and learning requires a strain and effort and discipline, and the reason for that is because our bodies don't like to be parked for any length of time. Why is learning Gemara so difficult? Because I need to sit in one place. I need to focus on one inyan that's a long inyan and a lot of back and forth and give and take and so on. I need also to stay focused on the inyan and to look at all the details and put it together and so on. Those are all, they go against the grain of someone who's just kind of impulsive and grabbing stuff and so on. It's a chinuch for a person to have that. So on all three counts, Torah is an entity which gives a person that sichlistic ability, even when it's giving the person that sichlistic ability to control himself. That is, and that would be true across the board. And this, by the way, was the logic of the Gdolim that opposed the Musa movement. They felt that by focusing specifically on Torah that deals with the direct issue is sort of disguising, or what's like word for it, or being mafkia, the ability to do other things with it, the ability to understand that all parts of Torah give that to you. Now, that's the more or less the mahalak of it.
Sorry, Rabbi?
Yes.
Yeah. Wasn't it good for Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's point that it wasn't doing the job?
Absolutely. And like all great debates of Gedolei Yisrael, there was truth to both of them. You know, we find that there were many people who were great Talmid Chachamim in terms of what we call Talmid Chacham, whose character was anything but sterling. And, you know, Volozhin had many, that by the time was over, and other people. That was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's point. He probably wasn't debating if somebody's learning Lishma, you know, the way it's supposed to be with everything, all that. Certainly, he wouldn't have the problem. But since that itself is never a given, so you're better off doing it, you're better off in introducing Musa. The Chiddush is, I mean, that I think is an argument everybody buys. The Chiddush is the opposite. That if a person just talks all day long about goodness and niceness, it doesn't bring that same effect that Torah does, because at the end of the day, no matter what we believe in and are convinced of and so on, unless we function as a controlled entity, we're not going any place with it. when we talk about children not being bar das, there are many, many brilliant children and many, many stupid adults. It's not a question of how smart. Bar das means, is their persona a offshoot of their das or not? An adult will hopefully act somewhat in sync with his das. If he understands something to be dangerous, he's not going to do it because he understands it to be dangerous. A young boy, and even some teenagers, might do it bedafka because it's dangerous. Or they know it's dangerous and they just don't pay attention to it. Their minds are not in control of them. That's the bar das, not a bar das. So the sense of having of imposing das on yourself. The problem is Musar addresses many times emotions, which move a person much quicker than das does. It does produce much more powerful results. It also brings life into what you do, and that's the advantage of doing that. But the key, which person will succeed in controlling a bad impulse? Someone who heard a very, very powerful Musa Shmuz that really, really, you know, woke him up to the dangers of X, Y, or Z. But the person is lacking in he's lacking meaningfully in self-control and in control of the das over the person, versus somebody who didn't hear such a powerful shmuz, but his body is very much under the shulton of his das. So even if he's heard less inspiring musa, but as long as he knows that's what he wants to do, he has the ability to make it happen.
Just yes. A question.
Sure.
The tithers themselves and the emotions themselves, they themselves are massive sugyas. So if it's true you have to somehow use the seichel to get into them to guide them, but if you don't know how those things work, the seichel's not going to be effective towards them, right?
Yes and no. You know, it's a delicate, there's emes to many parts to it. Let's take an example. Let's take an example. Somebody is overeating, or somebody is smoking, or something. So, I can deal with that. I can try to deal with that in many ways. One way is I can alert the person to the dangers of smoking or overeating if he doesn't know about that. I can also paint very vivid and graphic pictures of what it looks like when you've smoked many years, what your lungs look like, what sick people look like, Rahman Islam. I can draw pictures of terribly overweight people and how much they suffer. And that would be reaching out to his emotions. But at the end of the day, I could also be dealing specifically with understanding what makes you eat when and how to get around it. Those are all important things. But at the end of the day, if the person is a person who is used to imposing his discipline on himself, discipline means basically that you put everything under the shulton of seichel. So he needs, if the person is extremely good at that, he needs much less of the other stuff. Yes, cigarette smoke is not good. I need to understand how I can quit smoking without, you know, building up a backlash where I'm going to run back to smoke. And once I do it because I'm in the habit of doing these things. Those are all different pieces of the puzzle. The sugyas of let's say gaiva, taiva, kina, whatever it is. Those are important sugyas to understand the mechanics of it. And how is it, why are you jealous, what does jealousy consist of, and why is that emotion counterproductive, and so on. But once I have all that laid out, what will make it happen is my ability to control things, my being badass. It's no, that was considered to be that is still, I guess, the rationale why we spend so much time learning things that don't have anything in particular to do with it. And the truth is, you do get a sense, you get a sense what people are missing when they don't have Musa, but you also get a sense what people are missing when you don't have solid Amelus Betorah as a day-to-day activity. No description of one or the other will ever work in real life. In real life, you need a combination of both. The best right is Talmud Bavli has halach and agada in it, both in a huge amount. Obviously, that the basis of a Torah includes halach and agada. But the actual act of reining yourself in is a product of Talmud Torah. We have, for instance, let's give another example. You have Lilmud Amanas La'asos. So the Lilmud Amanas La'asos doesn't preclude somebody who's simply a hypocrite. He earns his salary being a Rosh Yeshiva, and then on vacation he does whatever he wants to do. I don't think that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a much closer relationship between my knowing and understanding something and my actual doing it. They come together, and that's really what we're supposed to be. The learning of something, the knowing what's right, is supposed to generate that in myself. So we have a concept over here of a person of the Yetzer being nimsar biyodei, that he has the ability to conquer it. It's very interesting. You find the mashal, Shlomo HaMelech, the whole story in Gittin about how he had Ashmedai conquered and under his hands, and then Ashmedai asked him to be released, and he released him. In other words, the mashal was a mashal of being able to be shalit on it or be nishlat. We don't have the choice of not having Yetzirah. That choice doesn't exist. The choice that we have is to be a bailim over him, or the other way around. You know, veil of chukase for yimshalba. The question is, who's moishel and who? The seder advarim. Let's just get another point along these lines. Before Matan Torah, the others they looked around the bria, and they saw everything as it, you know, they recognized the emes from the bria, and that's how they did mitzvahs. The Rambam writes in Moreh Nevuchim that to us, what the others did seems to be a lot superior to what we're doing. You know, the kid who can figure out himself is superior to the kid who needs to be told what to do. So we see ourselves much, we see the others, that if that's the others, as being superior. The Rambam Moreh Nevuchim writes that Moshe Rabbeinu's chiddush was that until his time, Nevi'im had come along and said all sorts of things, but they never said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzaveh. That was something they never said. The concept of a mitzvah, mitzaveh, was something new. It was something in the that Moshe Rabbeinu was mekadesh. And the question really is, so what? Okay? So what do we do with it? It's just like, you know, you can, if you study material carefully, you'll see in every Navi some unique features, especially with a computer, unique words, unique constructions, unique topics you talk about. They say over from the Ragat Shavadat Nishas, every Masechta has one Manyama, at least, that's not mentioned in the Masechtas. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, I don't know if he's dragged up and said it actually now, but that's we would understand that would be a big mila to figure out yourself what you need to do. That Moshe Rabbeinu was told that there is mitzvah isn't something we would say is a mila of his. And Chazal talk about it that he's the one who came as, I mean, let's put it as the Mordechai Vuchim writes, he was the one who was commanded to go and to be mitzvah. He was mitzvah and he was told to mitzvah. But the way we understand it now is Moshe Rabbeinu as a Nisan HaTorah, he restored the appropriate Kaima to the Bria. The Bria consists of a top chelik, which is the mitzvah, and then everybody else works as a mitzvah. In the person's own guf, the mitzvah is the brain, the mitzvah is the guf. So the brain and seichel, the das of a person, sets down what a person ought to do, and if the person is kitikuno, he listens. A person who is a bar das does whatever his mind tells him to do. Like we said before, that's the definition of our das. So we follow along with whatever it is that our seichel said we should do, and that's what we do. Or the seichel ha-Torah, if we're like that. The doing what I want to do really starts with impulse. You know, I come in, I see something very holy, I say, this is really neat. I want to do it also. That's a very, very different approach. Then I feel that something is coming down and being mitzvah me. That Kadosh Baruch Hu being mitzvah in a certain sense is the Yerida al Hahar. If the brain is not a mitzvah, then the brain is up there. It's thoughts, ideas, understandings, wisdom, a whole bunch of wonderful things. But that's it. Whenever there's a tzivui, whenever we have something, Akadosh Baruch Hu is Yerid Alahar, means that the Das, so to speak, descended onto it and connected to it. So when a person's Das is connecting with the person, so it gives him a shmir from Chet that no other thing does. Because one thing is clear, Chet does not come parallel to Das. Nefesh and Guf are parallel. So we have a way of indulging physically that's Avera, we have a way of meeting our physical needs that's good. We have emotions, drives that are bad, we have emotions that are good. We're always dealing with a Zelu Maser. In terms of Seichel, there is no seichel that is parallel to the Das of Torah. The decision we have is to be madiv ruach shtus over it. And ruach shtus means it's coming from a lower part of the person. But it's not as if there's two seichels. And that's why we talk about drives of a person straying. It's not seichel. It's never seichel that's opposite to the toiv. Seichel is only. So Torah is something which is the ability to be toiv as the things mitzadeh sichlius, mitzadeh havana, for us to be oisik in it. In a way that we're oisik in Torah, and it becomes part of us and becomes sort of the mastery of what we're doing. Let's just see, let's finish the paragraph here so we're not stuck. So you speak Gemilas Chesed, that's something we need to talk about separately. Vim Odom U'toyiv Heimitz Atzirim Tzad Nafshei Harei Mesulik Meitzor Shura. V'ikash Shmosh Yitzor Rak, Mashon Kashbrochu Koro Leitzor Rash, Nema Geitzir Vodom Ram in Uro. V'chashe Eina Yitzor Shailut Boi, Az Yitzor Nimsa B'yodei. That's what I'm saying. It's an either-or situation. Either the Yitzor is Shailut on me, or I am Shailut on the Yitzor. V'teida Oid Ki Kasha Oisik B'teira.
So this is something we'll talk about maybe next time, about how is it that doing chesed helps you with the type of eating, or whatever it is. But he says, I'm skipping a line or two, Valdea Torah, who oid mis ala ala sikhle legamri, acha misulik mit yitzahara. Kerigel kinyan lapchisel mokim, v'amav v'chamor hu yitzadarayis, shenikra chamor al shem shemayis chamitur. So he says both the yitzaharas are overridden by the yitzahara of the by Taira. One is more chamri, one is more refined. But at the end of the day, but I think the key to what he's saying lies in the fact that it is something which is shaylit on the person, and it can be shaylit on ra as well. The Gemara says that yetzera and isha small should be karevis, min should be doicha. It's not something that's mufka from a person's activities, but it's something that needs to be done as a result of its control, not the other way. I once, I was heard from somebody, I think from Shlomo Zofsky's point of Racha. He said about, he once came to visit Reb Chatzkel Levenstein, who was a phenomenal Bal Musa and extraordinary in control of himself. And he said Reb Chatzkel was eating lunch or something, and he had like two slices of bread, and he ate it. And he saw that it wasn't enough. You know, like Reb Chatzkel was still hungry, and he could see it. So he asked Reb Chatzkel, why doesn't he take another piece of bread? So Reb Chatzkel told him, I tell my stomach what it ought to eat, not the other way around. In other words, I decide before the meal what is appropriate for the meal, and rather than letting my stomach make those decisions. And then he pointed to two oranges and he said, I want to leave some room for Paris or Israel also. But the concept of being shalit on your taivas, that's the tachos of Torah. Any questions? Okay. So, good Yontif. So, Emetz Hashem, for me, Thursday is still Yontif next week. So, it'll be
two weeks.
In 2 weeks, Emetz Hashem.
Okay, Kultov, thanks very much.
Okay, Kultov.